Don DeBrass Sachs.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, morning.
Yes, in reference to the lady who called and spoke about the mask earlier, I'm not sure if she has all the facts or the information. What I can say to you is that I know of some schools where the Old Scholars Association make masks and sell with among themselves. And some children may end up with masks being the school logo, but to the best of my knowledge, it is not a direct sale to students at the school and at that price. The school that I am associated with, part of the proceeds goes back to the school as it's kind of a fundraiser for the school. Not that we are charging students $15 for a mask. And there are two schools that I am associated with, and that was the plan where we started the mask drive. But it is not that students are being asked to buy masks. I know of a teacher who made masks for her class, and she has the school logo on it and the form number on it as well. But it is not a directive that you have to pay $15 for a mask. So maybe some schools are doing it, but that is not across the board. So I don't think it should go out to the public that schools are selling masks at $15 to students.
She didn't say that all schools are doing it.
No, I understand.
She said that at a particular school, this is what is happening. Now, there is a possibility that this is part of a fundraising drive by the school and that sort of thing. Everything depends upon how it is communicated. You know, you and I cannot vouch for how that was put across to parents. And there are some parents, even if it was put across in the most benign manner, there are parents who will say, but you know, their interpretation could be that as long as the school says so, in their own minds, they see that it is mandatory, even though it may be discretionary. So I don't know what happened in this particular case. That is why I say to her, you got to engage the school itself and find out exactly what has happened here. Because she may be operating on the kind of in a situation where somebody just sends this thing to her phone and she just loses it. You know, say, how on earth could the school be asking people to pay $15 for a mask? And when you engage with people at the school, you hear, but you know, first of all, it was discretionary. You know, we never said that you have to do it that way, but this is one of the drives that we have put in place so that we can raise some funds, because the schools, as you well know, are often under a lot of pressure. So they may leave it up to parents to determine what they are going to do in that regard.
Yes, that is why our Scholars Association needs to get on board with school to help defer costs of some of the expenses within the school. And I can tell you for a fact that the Chrysler Foundation School has a very active body that looks after the school on a regular basis.
Okay.
That's why I know of it, because my daughter goes to foundation. Yes, people may see her with a mask, smart foundation school, but she did not buy it from the school. I bought the mask for her. We had a similar issue with the St. John's Primary School where we were contemplating about having masks with the school logo for the students. And we decided that these masks would be donated instead of being sold to the students. So what I'm saying is that if the variant or Scholars Association, I've seen there are a lot of mask bearing school logos, and I don't think that they're being sold to students. I may be wrong in saying that, but I don't think that the reason behind it or the rationale behind it was to target students. It was just like the paraphernalia of the school. It's your alma mater, you show off your mask. So in my opinion, she needs to get to the root of the matter, and if possible, speak to her or Scholars Association.
There are some people who would be pretty opposed to this concept of having a public health emergency being used as a means of trying to raise funds for a school. There are people.
No.
There are some people who may be.
We are not using it as.
Are you talking about you? I said that there are other people who are doing it. I'm talking about you. You know, and in principle, there will be those who may feel that way about it. But if you feel that way, then you don't participate in it, you know? You have a choice. All right, sir. Thank you very much. And you know, kudos to you and the others who are involved in this kind of effort. You know, this is a kind of collective effort that is really required in Barbados at the moment. And we applaud you for what you've been doing.
I remember a couple of years ago, the art program of a particular primary school was $625 per year. That's what they got from government. But the school at that time had a roll of 440 students. So they had 440 students to spend $625 an academic year. That is where Old Scott is coming and of state schools. And we need to see more of it in Barbados. There are very few that are active in Barbados today, but we need to see a lot more of it. Because the children today need help, parents cannot afford it. And if the Old Scholars Associations come together, they can work with the PTA, work with the guidance counselors. And we have active programs at Foundation School that we'll not speak about them now, but we look after our own.
Okay, let's move on. Thank you very much. Dr. Brastax, hello.
Good morning.
Morning.
I can agree with everything that gentleman said, and I think that this should be across the board for all schools in Barbados. And let me just say that the people who believe that they shouldn't be selling the mask in support of fundraising maybe think that the mask will save or is a lifesaver or something that the children really, really have to get in order to live. Yes, well, that is true. There's no indication that children really have to purchase masks at $15. That's just a fundraiser, but that is just a side point. Now, the matter of homosexuality seems to have gained some traction, and this is my opinion, all because of the proposal to invite people to live and work here in Barbados. Now, to me, a reading of that would suggest that you expect that the majority of people who are expected to accept this invitation are likely to be homosexuals or couples in same-sex unions. Having said that, I think that we really need clarity in Barbados. I think we have to start separating the issues. Stop interlocking all the issues. Stop interlocking the referendum for homosexuality with the issue of same-sex union and even the economy. I think the government has to have clarity on these issues and articulate it so that Barbadians can understand the issues. Now, I am not a lawyer, but I think that the issue of same-sex union could have been addressed through contingent rights. A contingent right, a right is where there's no current right for something, but only a conditional right, which will become or which will come into effect once that something happens. So I think that these are things that we need visionaries, people to sit
Come. Explain, what is something that will happen in the context of this issue?
Well, if we are expecting people, and let's go back to the whole issue with the invitation. Remember, this issue was gained traction because a certain person had indicated that certain rights were left out for people in same-sex union. If we go back to that and we want to apply the contingent rights, that something would be people who are in same-sex relationships or people who are already married. Now, we don't recognize same-sex marriages in Barbados, but we're inviting people from outside to come. So I'm saying we can use contingent rights to make a determination and even set up our own criteria. Now, all homosexuals are not married. This issue only pertaining to homosexual couples who are married or those who are living just in a same-sex union. That is why I am saying these issues need to be carefully articulated. Hello?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Ellis. This is Caswell Franklin.
Yes, Caswell.
I a bit disappointed in the Ministry of Labor for misleading people and attempting to say that I am misleading. Mind you, the person from the Ministry of Labor in the newspaper yesterday did not say this is John Smith, Peter John, or whoever from the Ministry of Labor. They just issued a statement by the Ministry of Labor through GIS or whatever, saying in its essence that I'm wrong. I would like to clarify the issue one last time. under the Severance Amendment Act, the government increased the time for claiming severance from 13 weeks to 22 weeks. And the normal, and if you want to claim it, you have to go to your employer first. You have 4 weeks. Then you had 13 weeks, you had 4 weeks to claim, and then you had 22 weeks, you have 4 weeks to claim your severance pay. The difference here is that if you do not meet that four-week period, you can go to the tribunal for up to a year after your dismissal and claim your severance through the tribunal. It, with the case of the amendment for the people who were laid off from the 1st of March to the 30th of April, there is no recourse to the tribunal. And as a result, even though they're saying, yes, you still have a year under Section 37, you have nowhere to go to pursue that claim for a year. That is the point I have been making, I've been making for the longest time, simply because Section 6 of the new amendment says, Section 38 of the Principal Act does not apply to claims made under these amendments. Section 38 says, any question arising under this Act as to the right of an employee to a severance payment or as to the amount of a severance payment shall, in accordance with regulations made under this part, be referred to and determined by a tribunal appointed and constituted in accordance with the sixth schedule. So, as you miss that four-week period, you have to go to the tribunal when you have that 13 weeks. For the people who are laid off during this COVID period, this amendment has ousted the tribunal. You cannot take the matter to the tribunal. And the only way National Insurance can pay you is if you have an order from the tribunal. So since there is no tribunal for these people to go to, and the employer has said, I am not paying you, then you have no recourse because you cannot take severance payment matters to court and the tribunal don't have the power to hear your case. Okay. So when I'm saying you have 4 weeks, you have only 4 weeks. Okay. And that is, and mind you, that is 4 weeks if the employer agrees. Because if the employer does not agree, you have nowhere to go. This act was saying to us that the minister will make regulations. So far, the minister has not made any. So, the...
Okay, we're gonna have to leave you now because we got to go to the news. All right, thanks for calling and seeking to clarify this matter as far as you're concerned. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, sir.
You know, as a citizen of this country, I'm concerned with this COVID issue that is going on. I heard that no one will be left behind. But this morning, hearing the school dilemma with these masses, don't you think that the authorities should put things in place all like now this morning that school would have a smooth sail? Now, I believe that we got people in this country who are hurting very much, very much. But yet still, nobody is coming to our rescue.
What do you mean? Explain.
Well, this morning I heard about the ambassador to Washington. I heard how we going republic because that if we have to send somebody to Washington, we have to go through the Queen and then go through the Donald Trump. These things are not the poor people issues. The poor people issues right now are crime. The crime situation that is in our villages. Don't you understand that at this particular time, people are suffering for water? But nobody addressing our problems.
Is that so? Well, I thought the Prime Minister has been speaking to that about, especially as it relates to people in St. John, St. Joseph, St. Andrew, St. Thomas. Up to last night, she spoke about that again and reassured the people that money is being invested in trying to get the water to them. And Vineyard has been mentioned. To say that nobody is doing anything about it is not, I don't think that's fair and reasonable. Not on that issue.
Mr. Ellis, how long were we hearing this water issue?
The government has just come back to office in 2 years.
How long we were hearing this water issue?
Well, you're not listening to what they're saying.
The government was saying they can fix it, and the people of this country thought that it couldn't be fixed.
But the government says it is being fixed.
You understand? But people still suffering for the water. We have so much issue in this country, and we're looking after other things that doesn't matter, poor people. If you listen, the government is telling we poor people to eat healthy because of our health issues. How can we eat healthy when everybody is trying to take the little dollars and cents that we have? Everybody start this morning. You spoke to one of the teachers, I believe, at the school, and he was saying the mass that the children was asked to bring a donation to help with the school. Now everybody is asking for donation all over this country. Donation. People pockets are pulling, the supermarkets pulling our pocket, the health system pulling our pocket, and when we go to the Queen Elizabeth, we are being set back. Mr. Ellis, this country has a lot of problems, but that's what I'm saying, that nobody looking after our country. Nobody looking after our country. Our Prime Minister talking from a distance. On other medias, but yet still, we rubbing shoulders to shoulders. And we have so many ministers in the House. But yet still, the agents are still squatting and scrambling every morning, every day. I'm telling you, this is a crisis that we are in. COVID have not teach us anything but to be selfish and dishonest to ourselves and to others.
Well, you know, it's sad that you see it in those terms. I cannot speak for you. You have said it as you see it, as you, I believe, experience it. And even if that were not your position, I have no doubt that there are other people out there who see it exactly the way that you do. It is up to those who govern to listen to your voice and to see that as the word they like to use these days is symbolic. Well, see that as symbolic of what other people in the country have to say. I don't know that I can agree with you that all the problems are going unnoticed. I listen to the government speak about them, and I must say that I see an effort to tackle some of the burning issues. But I also understand your perspective when you say that all this talk about some of these other matters, for you, they don't deal with the bread and butter issues of the day. Of course, on the other side of the coin, people who support these other issues are firmly of the view that ultimately they translate to bread and butter issues in ways that you and others may not be able to appreciate and understand. But there is a third force, a third group of people who say that you must be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. That there is nothing wrong with tackling all of them at the same time. There is, in all of this, a fundamental of existence. And it is that once you bring about change, you create upheaval. If you threw a pebble in the water, you would see that water splash, and it takes a bit of time to settle down, to go back to a point of being calm. So when you try to take on so many things at one time, what happens is that you create great upheaval at the same time. And you have to be able to manage that change. And that's where the government's ambitious approach to trying to change so many things at one time is a political risk, but one which, if you listen to the Prime Minister last night, she said, but that's what the Labour Party is accustomed to doing. So let's see. Prime Minister said, give me the vote on Watchma. So we're watching to see how you're going to be able to deal with all of these complex issues at the same time, made all the more difficult with COVID. My personal view, I mean, there are those who advise the Prime Minister, tackle them all. All the things that you couldn't normally do, like the Attorney General is saying, he don't see no need for no referendum. We talk about it, we promise it all the time, and know that I got the power, let me impose it on you. So impose it, if you will. But, you know, it's amazing to have that kind of approach to that issue. But, you know, there are, if you want to take it all on at the same time, you're going to have a big management problem. And I was about to say that I think the priority area has got to be dealing with the economy, trying to get people back to work, trying to get growth, trying to deal with the projects. Government has been criticized for putting all this emphasis on tourism. But if you listen, there is an ambitious public works program as well. You still have to look at the role of private sector in creating construction activity. So it is not all about tourism. So that, to me, is where a lot of the emphasis needs to be. For various reasons, people are going to put the emphasis more on the referendum and on the matter of same-sex marriages and stuff. But to me, those are not as important as the administration may well feel that it's got enough seats in Parliament that it can afford to create disequilibrium on those points because the opposition is weak and that sort of thing. So we'll see. We'll see. This is Down to Brass Tacks. In Jamaica, triple murder rocks Denham Town. Then they have a situation going on in Jamaica at the moment where the Minister Chang has condemned then a spate of killings in that country. Apparently, people are targeting policemen and their families in a spate of attacks. And the National Security Minister, Dr. Horace Chang, has condemned the recent alleged coordinated attacks on police officers and their families, resulting in the death of 67-year-old Clifton Green, the father of a detective inspector of police. He said, these targeted attacks on our police officers to disrupt law and order and incite public fear and panic are of grave concern and will not be tolerated. That's what the minister has said. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello? You are on the air. Welcome to the program. It's now 12:15.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
This is Alvin.
I know.
Last time I spoke to you, after being off the air for a long time, I wasn't able to finish something that I wanted to say, and I hope you will give me the privilege of finishing it now. Now, I am told, I don't know if you could help me with this one, that the hotel section is going to get $300 million to help the economy, as I'm told. That $300 million going to the hotels will help our economy. Is that $300 million is coming from the Foreign Reserves, Ms. Ellis?
I didn't hear that it is coming from the Foreign Reserves.
Where is it coming from?
I expect that it is coming from the government, the consolidated fund.
$300 million?
Wherever it's coming from.
Okay, I want you to find out where it's coming from, because I don't think at the moment with how bad this is going that the government could find $300 million unless it's coming from central bank, national insurance, or the foreign reserves. I believe one or three of those places, this $300 million is coming from. Now, this government have come in at a time. They came in, and they're for some reason, although it was a distant race, they started like 100 yards. And then something popped up that they had no control over. They bring, this is the virus. They have plenty of advisors. And instead, I believe they should look for certain people, even Alvin, to help them with what I think is needed. I would take 150 of that $300 million to help the country move forward. And this is where we put some of it. $150 million. $30 million in agriculture. To plant yams, potatoes, cassava, all types of things. Concentrate in bare agriculture, that $30 million. $30 million in National Housing Corporation. Employing not the big contractor firms, employing young, small contractors to upgrade some of the government estates and some of the industrial park, Newton, and places that need work, and schools. But you'll be taking up all the young carpenters and masons, the vendors, electricians through the National Corporation. Only small companies. I will put $30 million in manufacture. And you know, at the moment, that ain't that big. So that $30 million might even run for 3 years if you put that $30 million in there. That is 90. I will then come to an area that will put money, because those three areas will spread money all around. But then I will put $30 million in urban and rural. The money they're talking about is money that they already agreed to spend. That's $300 million going in a department area that at the end of the day, we ain't gonna see nothing. It is norm all the time. Those folks will take the money, and I don't know what to do with it. And I believe if this government is to sit down and study, they could take half of that money and put it, as I said before, agriculture, manufacture, National Housing Corporation, urban and rural. And that will turn back very slow in 2 years. Because those areas that I just called is where the poorest of the poor lives, works in. Carpenters, masons, electricians, painters, well diggers. I would like to ask Ms. Motley, why should she take up $300 million and put in the hotels, as they're telling me, and they're going to pay people in hotels that ain't got no guests. When they could take that money and put it somewhere whereby people be producing and getting paid. That is one. Two. Mr. Ellis, you heard the ambassador of the Caribbean Sea?
Say what?
The ambassador of the Caribbean Sea told me yesterday and this morning that Barbados was going to Republic and a couple white people and a couple people who come from the colonial lifestyle is anywhere. Who's these white people he talking about, Mr. Ellis? Now, there's a gentleman that the Barbados can vote for, you know. There's a gentleman that the last time he tried to be elected, I don't know why, how come he didn't know how much family he had up there, because he just got over 30 votes. But suddenly he know that in the hard times in this country, the hardest time in this country, a government that had the hardest job ever in the history of Barbados, this is the Mayor Motley administration, that at this time we should be concentrating on going after someone, or because people tell me it's in a hurry, that we might got to end up going to, this is the same England. And we won't move Nelson to Trinity. And now we want to go Republic because, as Their marshal said this morning, this is the reason we should get republic. That they wanted to make Mr. Lynch an ambassador of everything. And they had to write the Queen. And then the Queen had to write Trump for it to happen. Why?
Say that
Let
on
me
the
explain
air.
To you why I say Trump can't tell us who to pick for anything about it.
He wasn't talking about picking. It was it is about the process that has to be
it's
gone.
It's only rubber stamp, Mr. Ellis.
But it is still a process that must be gone.
Mr. Ellis, to tell the people of Barbados, and it came over all the radio stations, that for we to get Mr. Lynch,
we had to go through the process of going through.
But don't make it sound like that is why we going republic. We got to go to because we got to get stopped to that.
Yes,
it's
but
only a rubber stamp, Mr. Ellis.
Yeah, but that rubber stamp matters to some people. It matters that you just wait a minute, because you know you like to get involved in a crosstalk thing that can make us sound as though we're quarreling with each other. So please.
But you've got to quarrel you something.
Well, you know, once you get there, you know we can goodbye. All right, you know it don't make sense. The point is that the Queen does not make the decision. That decision and so many others are being made by people here in Barbados already. So the reasoning is, does it make sense for us to have to be making the decision, but then having what you call a rubber stamp from there, from London? That's the point that some people raise on this. That to them it doesn't make sense.
Let me finish it for you then. We don't need a governor general nor a president neither, because they just do the same thing. No law can pass in Barbados without the Queen, without the governor general stamping it. So
I suppose this is one of the few areas in which you break ranks with the Democratic Labour Party.
Oh.
Because as I understand it, the Democratic Labour Party has been supportive of Barbados becoming a republic too.
But how you get there? I ain't going there with you.
But I'm going there with you because that's my understanding.
What I'm saying to you, Miss Ellis, and Mr. Dale Marsh is right, that we have to become a republic because we still got to go to the Queen. In Barbados, when it passed through the House and Senate, it still got to end up in the Governor General to make it law.
And you see that as and you see that as being on all fours with Barbados having to go through the process of getting the Queen's rubber stamp, as you call it, to appoint an ambassador. You feel comfortable with that today?
It is not. Let me explain to you what I'm saying, and I want you to get me clear. Because I hear you with a lot of things that I don't understand, because I know that you're more brilliant than that. I don't know if you...
So like what? What have I said now?
I can give you this other one as soon as I finish this.
I want you to answer me the question that I put to you just now. Because going back, I remember reading that the former Prime Minister, Mr. Stewart, was among those who said that he was looking forward to the day that Barbados could become a republic. We have had the current president of the Democratic Labour Party come in public and say that she also is in agreement with going republic in principle.
I want
to know whether that's the departure from the position that you hold as a card-bearing member of the DLP.
Mr. Ellis.
Yes, please.
The reason for republic, I say reason for Nelson, I don't understand it because to me it's bare foolishness.
So you disagree?
To me.
Right, okay. This is the first time that I... on this program have heard you actually take a position that was contrary to espoused DLP policy and position. Yes, but everybody knows you declare your hand ever since. I have to expose the fact that on this particular matter you are at variance.
I am saying I don't know how DLP and DMP began this.
Jeez, son,
I ain't see the same.
I know how you're going to run from that.
I ain't see the reason. I can't understand it. All I hear it why at this time in history we should get, we trying to, I would say, stir confusion with someone that we might got to go to, which is England. But let me move on.
How so? Explain. Don't move on.
I'll move on, Mr.
Don't drop that bomb and leave. Let me ask you, how would we have to go to them?
You don't know?
How many you don't know?
You nor I, and even our Prime Minister.
So what has Dominica had to go to them for that they couldn't get? What Trinidad had to go for that they couldn't get? What Guyana had to go for?
Dominica got people there and night on the way there lambasting England and want to the stature. A man that they respect for all the life voluntary and you see and all sort of things. Dominica do all anything. It is the things that you say that's come back and haunt you. It ain't, there's nothing wrong with going Republic. There's nothing wrong if you have to move Nelson. It is the language that surrounds it. And if you listen...
So what? You got me confused.
You tell a gentleman today that you don't follow knife on the ground. But these
I didn't say that. I never said that. I said I don't follow the rumor. I don't, you know, I have to be careful when I hear
a
rumor.
What I am speaking about is on the air.
Pardon?
We have to move Nelson, as they are saying.
No. You got me confused. Because on the one hand, you say that you are opposed to the principle of moving Nelson and becoming a republic. On the other, you say you are concerned with the language that is being used. Which one is it?
What I am saying... And I want you to pick me and don't try to change what I say. I don't understand the movement of Nelson. It was there from 1813. It could stay there for another 2,000 years to me. I believe that the Republic of England changed nothing and that maybe could remain with the Governor General all my life. And I believe again, and you might get vexed with me this year, that the Republic being forced on us within 365 days is because they want to move my nice lady. Let me get to my next point.
No, you ain't got enough time, though. We're going to the news. Okay? This is Down to Brass Tacks. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I have some good news. Earlier in the program, I spoke about the offer which had been made by this Barbadian living in New York to provide some face masks for the children of the Ellerton Primary School. Minister Sutherland has called to say that not only did she promise, but she has delivered on the promise, and the masks have actually arrived in Barbados, and he has received them. So that is very good news, and it is in counter to the comments which would have been made earlier about by a woman who said that she was informed that children at one school are being asked to pay $15 for the mask. There are situations where it appears as though schools are trying to raise some funds that way, but there are several other situations where people who have been to school at various schools in the country are making their contributions at home and abroad, and that's the kind of initiative that needs to be applauded. Thank you all. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hello, good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, sir.
I'm a lady only with a heavy voice.
Sorry, anyway. My apologies. I gotta be gender neutral when I when I ask this one.
It's okay. Is it possible you could check something for me with the Ministry of Education?
What's that?
I've been vending outside the Lewis Arm Primary School for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. And now an email has been sent out telling the parents that we are not allowed to sell on the outside of the school anymore. And the reason is that the notice has come from the UN. So I want to know if we can sell outside. There's no other mean of income for the house for my daughter and I, if they would give permission for us to sell on the inside of the school.
Didn't you raise that with the school principal?
My daughter have to go and see her later this afternoon.
Okay, so that's the first point of reference. I would ask the school to expand on it and to see how they may be able to accommodate you, and if they can't, then what recommendation they would make to you.
What I wanted to really find out is if this order really came from the UN.
Well, it sounds odd to hear that the order came from the UN. That doesn't sound right. It would have to come from the ministry of education. or somebody in Barbados. The United Nations doesn't communicate directly with vendors, well, school vendors, as far as I am concerned. I don't know that. So let seek the clarification from the school itself. This is a matter, I believe, they would have a board as well. It's quite likely, but the principal is the person that you should deal with there.
Okay.
Now, remember in all of this that there's this effort to crack down on the sale of soft drinks and certain snacks to school children.
That is understandable.
Right. And I want to know, how have you sought to deal with that as the school reopens?
Well, even for years now, we have been selling fruits and juices along with the other snacks.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no other minimum income coming into the house to pay bills and send the children to school if we don't go to work. We have been home for the past 5-6 months and struggling. So if we can't go back out to work now, what do we do?
The government has said that there are all of these other things that need to be done. You haven't heard the Prime Minister speaking last night, did you?
No, I didn't.
All right. So they say, look, we have all of these things to address. For instance, the schools need support in a different way. And the government says it is going to make some money available for this purpose. There's a need to deal with some of the highways and a range of issues that have been put out there. I think what is required here, though, is that beyond the Prime Minister's speaking about it, perhaps they need to get the Government Information Service in on this act, where they can actually put out more sustained information on what is available and where do you go, to whom do you turn. Because to me, you and your daughter may be good candidates for this kind of effort right now. I don't know that it can be isolated to just the people who are working in tourism, because in circumstances like this, if the administration is saying vendors now have to do something different and these vendors cannot adjust, then they can't be left out there without a job, and that's not the intention of the administration at all. So the Ministry of Education, if you go to the principal, then that information should also be sent to people in key positions in the country. And a lot of school principals can come up against a situation where vendors like you have nowhere to turn.
True.
So we can't leave you out there on a limb like that as a country.
When my daughter speaks with her this afternoon, mm-hmm. I will try to get back to you to find out what was said in this afternoon.
Right. Well, you know what? Someone says here, the person who followed up, thank you very much, ma'am, for following up. The task that I had given to you to try to get this information on the mask to Minister Sutherland. Unfortunately, the information got to him, but I didn't get any information back to suggest that mission was accomplished. So I apologize if I made it seem as though you don't take your assignments seriously. I want you, though, and this is to the person here I'm communicating with now on my phone. I want some information for this woman here. I want to know, where can she turn if indeed and in fact she may not be able to sell outside of the school that she's been selling at for the last 20 years? Then how can people like her take advantage of any of these programs that the Prime Minister spoke about last night, so that they can try to find something else to do in the interim, okay? That would be useful for her and for others in her situation. Thank you very much, ma'am.